Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We are here to take your notes, your sources, your research, and cut straight through the noise to deliver the essential insights you need. Today, we're diving into something that honestly could reshape how we think about global business and even just travel. I'm talking about the quiet launch of OpenAI's dedicated translation tool, ChatGPT Translate.
It really did fly under the radar for a lot of people.
It did. And for years, Google Translate has just been the default, right? It's fast, it's everywhere, it works.
It's functional, yeah.
But now there's this new challenger, and it's built on a completely different kind of architecture. So our mission is pretty clear. We need to unpack all this source material and figure out if this is just, you know, a shiny new wrapper on GPT, or if OpenAI has actually delivered something fundamentally better for multilingual communication.
I think it's a huge strategic signal, and you really have to look at the wider landscape to see why.
Okay.
This launch pretty much confirms OpenAI is moving from being just a research lab to a full-on consumer product company.
Right. While others like Anthropic are really digging into those high-end enterprise solutions, the API side of things.
Exactly. OpenAI is going straight for the everyday user. They're giving you tools you can use right now, today, and translation. I mean, that's a universal need. It's a very direct play for global mindshare.
And the way they're entering the market is just... it's incredibly smart. Our sources all confirm it's available right now at chatgpt.com/translate.
Mm-hmm.
And it's free. No paid subscription, no plus account needed. They're basically democratizing this advanced tech from day one.
That's a key point. That accessibility isn't just about marketing. I think it hints at the core philosophical difference here.
What do you mean?
Well, traditional services, like Google's, are built on older models. Statistical, some neural networks. But they're basically designed to convert one word for another.
A substitution task.
Right. It's a substitution task. Speed is the priority. ChatGPT Translate completely flips that. The priority is contextual understanding. It's about natural communication.
Okay, so it's not about word-for-word perfection.
Not at all. It's about preserving the intended meaning, the tone, the feeling behind the words.
We need a concrete example here because that sounds good, but what does it actually look like in practice?
Okay, think of an idiom like... it's raining cats and dogs. A traditional algorithm might give you a literal, totally nonsensical translation in another language.
Something that's technically correct, word for word, but makes no sense.
Exactly. It misses the meaning. But a large language model like this, it's been trained on billions of real conversations, books, articles.
Yeah.
It understands the intent is heavy rain. And that's what it translates, the concept, not just the words.
That makes perfect sense. And they've made it so practical, too. The input flexibility is, it's really well thought out for real-world use.
It's not just a box you type in.
No, you can paste text, sure. Mm. But you can also upload entire documents. You can speak to it. You can even upload a photograph, say, of a menu in a restaurant or a sign on the street.
And that flexibility is so critical for who they're targeting. Travelers, business people. But what's really fascinating... from a technical side, is that we have no idea what's under the hood.
It's a black box.
A total black box. OpenAI hasn't said what model this is running on. Is it a special, fine-tuned version of GPT? Is it the main model with some very clever prompting behind the scenes? We don't know.
They're playing their cards very close to their chest.
They are. But the quality of the output, the way it handles subtlety and those cultural cues, it strongly suggests this isn't just running on some old database. It's understanding language relationally, not just linearly.
And I think this is where the deep dive really begins, because that nuance is everything. It's the main differentiator. We're moving beyond just getting a fluent translation.
It's almost like stylistic co-creation.
Explain that.
The AI doesn't just give you a translation. It takes direction on how that translation should sound and feel. The customization options turn it from a simple utility into something more like a tailoring service.
So you can tell it who the audience is.
Precisely. You tell it the audience, and it changes its register. If you're drafting a proposal for a major client, you can tell it to use a business formal tone.
Or if you're a scientist writing up research for a journal.
You can specify an academic content register, and it will use the appropriate terminology and structure.
And on the flip side, if you're a teacher or a content creator, you could take a complex topic and say, explain this in simple, child-friendly language.
Yes. That kind of control over tone is something we've just never had in a mass market translation tool before. It's not just giving you an answer. It's trying to give you the right answer for your specific situation.
Okay, but I have to push back on that a little. If I'm a researcher and I ask for an academic tone, isn't there a huge risk? How do I know the AI hasn't subtly changed the meaning of my findings just to make it sound more formal in, say, German?
That's a critical point, and it touches on professional responsibility. The safeguard here is that the tool is iterative.
Meaning it's a conversation.
It's a conversation. It's not a one-and-done submission. You can immediately ask it, why did you choose that word? Or, give me a more literal translation of this specific sentence for comparison. You're supposed to guide it.
So you're not just passively accepting the output.
You can't. It's your job to verify it. But the system makes that verification process part of the workflow. You can ask for different phrasings. If it sounds too stiff, you can literally say, make that sound less aggressive. Or use the common term for supply chain, not the technical one. That back and forth is what gets you to a result that's both accurate and genuinely useful.
Okay, let's pivot to the real-world impact then. For someone listening right now who deals with global communication, where does this fit into their workflow immediately?
The applications are pretty diverse. For international business, that business formal setting is a lifesaver. You know how easily tone can be misread in an email?
Oh, absolutely. Too casual, too aggressive. It can sink a deal.
This helps manage that risk. It ensures your message lands with the right level of professionalism. Then you have travelers. The photo translation is just a massive win for them.
I can just picture it, trying to read a confusing sign in a busy train station.
And instead of just giving you a literal word-for-word translation of some abbreviation, the system understands the context. This is a warning sign, and gives you a clear, practical instruction.
I can also see students really leaning on the academic setting. It would let them focus more on their research and less on the mechanics of translation, making sure their complex ideas are presented in the right formal register.
For sure. And for content creators, especially in education, that child-friendly language option is huge. It streamlines localization. It helps ensure a science lesson, for example, resonates with a 10-year-old in Seoul just as well as it does with one in Chicago.
It's amazing how they packaged it. The interface looks so familiar, you know? It has that clean two-box design that Google made famous. It feels intuitive.
It's a very low barrier to entry, visually. Mm. But the engine underneath is a whole different ballgame.
Which brings us right to the competitive landscape, because this isn't happening in a vacuum. How does it stack up against the giants?
Right, and we have to be critical here and look at the trade-offs. Google Translate still has two massive advantages, immediacy and scale.
Speed and coverage.
Exactly. Oh. It covers over 130 languages. If you need a quick, good enough translation of a common phrase, right now, Google is still the king of speed.
And we can't forget about DeepL. They built a huge reputation for producing much more natural-sounding translations than Google. They really raised the bar with their neural network approach.
They absolutely did. DeepL set a new standard for output quality. But what ChatGPT Translate brings to the table is that next layer, user-directed refinement.
So with DeepL, you get a beautiful, polished result. But that's the result.
Right. With ChatGPT Translate, you get a result, and then you can say, okay, now make it less assertive.
Mm.
Or can you use European Spanish instead of Latin American Spanish? The interaction itself is the feature.
But that focus on quality and interaction must come with some serious limitations.
It does. And you really need to be aware of them.
Okay, let's break those down. The first one seems like a huge contradiction to me. The best use cases are for people on the move, travelers. Yet there's no mobile app.
It's a major dap. It's currently exclusive to the web platform, no official integration for Android or iOS.
Which really limits its utility for that key demographic. You're not going to pull out your laptop to translate a menu.
No, you're not. It suggests to me that, for now, OpenAI is probably more focused on gathering high-quality conversational data from desktop users, rather than optimizing for real-time on-the-go use cases.
Okay, what's next? Language coverage.
Right. Our sources are a bit hazy on the exact number of supported languages, but the consensus is that the focus is on quality, not quantity. If you're working with a less common language pair, Google's massive coverage is still going to be your only option.
So a trade-off between depth and breadth.
Precisely. And that leads to the speed trade-off. That conversational feature is powerful, but it takes time. If you just need a quick sentence translated, the whole iterative process is slower than a simple copy-paste into a one-shot tool.
For high-volume, low-stakes stuff, the old way is still faster.
It is. And finally, there's that transparency issue we touched on earlier. If you're a business thinking about using this for corporate communications, not knowing what model is underneath, how it's trained, how it performs across different contexts, that's a real concern for consistency and reliability.
Especially in high-stakes areas like legal or financial documents. You have to know what's driving the output before you can trust it.
And that takes us directly to the big one, data privacy. This is something you have to consider with any free cloud-based AI service.
So what's the deal here?
OpenAI's standard privacy policies apply. And the bottom line for you, the listener, is this. Your conversations, including the text you upload, may be reviewed by human trainers to improve the AI.
Unless you opt out.
Unless you explicitly go into your settings and opt out of data sharing. That's a critical step.
Absolutely essential if you're uploading sensitive documents, confidential client info, internal strategy, intellectual property. You have to check those settings.
At the end of the day, free services are typically paid for with data. So if your organization handles highly sensitive information, you need to be extremely cautious. You might need to look at paid enterprise solutions with contractual privacy guarantees or even offline tools. This is a brilliant consumer product, but it's not a high security vault.
So we've covered the tech, the competition, the limitations. Looking forward, what does this launch really mean for the future? Is this the beginning of the end for static translation?
I think it's a profound shift. It signals that translation is no longer being treated as this separate standalone utility. It's becoming an integrated, intelligent part of how we communicate with AI assistants. Mm. The goal is to dramatically lower language barriers, not with brute force, but with nuance and context.
So international collaboration could become almost seamless.
That's the vision. Now, it's not going to replace a professional human translator for a legal treaty or a complex medical text. Not yet, anyway. But for day-to-day business, for education, for personal connection, it lowers the barrier to entry for effective communication so much. The AI does the heavy lifting, you provide the direction.
So the key takeaway here is that ChatGPT Translate's real innovation isn't just about speed or how many languages it knows. It's about its ability to adapt tone and style through a conversation, turning translation from a static task into a dynamic, collaborative experience.
It really is.
Yeah.
And that leaves us with a final provocative thought for you to mull over. We know the tool is great at adjusting its tone based on a simple prompt, you know, academic versus informal.
Right.
But so much of translation relies on unspoken cultural knowledge, subtle social cues, regional etiquette, things that you can't just capture in a simple text prompt.
Things the user might not even know to ask for.
Exactly. So the question is, what subtle cultural elements might the AI still be missing? And how does that reinforce the absolute need for human oversight and verification in any truly high-stakes communication?
That line.
Between what the AI can do and what requires human expertise is exactly where we need to keep exploring.